The wise rector of the cathedral wanted me to wear as much green and gold this morning as possible. So we're all set with our, although I don't think they need divine intervention. They just need a good game. And hopefully we'll be celebrating a Super Bowl champion. The wonderful two images. Jesus, the great teacher, gives us the images of salt and light. And he does so. And we could talk about those symbols and what they represent. Obviously, salt in terms of preservative, but also flavor. And light in terms of clarity. We need light in order to be able to see. It brings and illuminates aspects. And when you pull those into faith, you can see how literally our faith is to reflect that that flavor of Christianity and at the same time give light to the world about it. There is but one story that we all participate, and that's the story of Jesus Christ. And all of us participate in that story. And I can tell you, after having been here now a year and about a month, that I can take a look at this community, even here that I celebrate at the 8 o'clock Mass, and I can look out and I could see various stories of salt and light. I could see that as you manifest that Christianity. And I think it is found, these symbols are found in the stories of Christianity which reflect that person of Jesus Christ. The salt and the light. That's why Jesus is saying you are the salt and the light to the world. I'd like to share with you, and I think what illustrates that salt and that light in a particular story, and it's the story of Father Joe Walieski. A wonderful, humble little priest. Now, the interesting thing about Father Joe is, really, if the seminary authorities had their way, he would have never been a priest. They didn't think he was bright enough. They didn't think he was spiritual enough. The seminary authorities, and you know, I was a seminary prof, and I know that, put a fairly high standard upon what they believe should be the priest that is produced for the congregations that they serve. So Joe struggled, and he promised God. He said, "God, if you'd find some bishop to take me and to ordain me, I promise that after spending a period of time as a priest in that diocese, returning in gratitude to that bishop's service, I will spend 6 years of my life working with the poor. I will go off to the missions and work with the poor." Well, there was a bishop who did kind of look at him and said, "No, I'm going to ordain Joe." And he brought him into the diocese and he set him to work, and he was a fine associate. But, of course, there was this tugging promise to God in Joe's life. So he went to the bishop and he said, "Bishop," and he says, "I made this private promise to God that if we would find a bishop, and you were the bishop he selected to ordain me, that I would spend my time going to the mission and working for the poor." The bishop understood that promise. And he responded and he said, "Fine." He said, "Realize I can't support you with funds, but if you want to go to the missions and work for the poor, I support you in that." Well, Bolivia was expanding at that time, especially in the jungle area, and Father Joe went down to Bolivia. And he went into an area where it was a native population. It was on the outskirts of Santa Cruz, and he brought people in. It was just his humble, gentle, Christian personality of reaching out, serving the poor, and being an instrument for God. And people came. And they came. And all of a sudden, he started to have a fairly large community there. And he said, "You know, we need a church, but there's no concrete in Bolivia." So Joe had to go down to Brazil, and he bought 2,000 sacks of concrete. And there was no closed boxcars. It was an open flat car. So they put all 2,000 bags, and Joe had to worry about those as the various stops would go on the way of losing those. So he sat on the top of the concrete bags as they made their way back from literally Brazil to Bolivia. It was going fine until it hit a washout where they had to take literally the material from one side and transfer it over the washout. Joe was the only one there. So he had to go to a native population that was down in Brazil, they're natives, and ask them if he could have assistance of them taking literally these concrete, 2,000 concrete bags and transferring it over the top. They did it. They came over and they did it. Of course, there are only 1,400 bags left when they transferred, and there is a thought that there are concrete sidewalks in some native village down in Brazil. Well, Joe got back and they built the church. Literally constructed the church, and they celebrated that aspect, and people came and admired, and the first rains came and the church came down. Literally came down. And people worried, and they came up to Father Joe and they said, "Oh, look at this. This is terrible. This is terrible." And Joe, with his kindness and gentleness, reached out, grabbed, tapped their hands, and said, "Don't worry, nothing is going to be all right." And with that kind of sense of confidence in God, not worrying about the way things are happening, Joe continued. And they built another church, and that church came down too. Finally, the bishop in the diocese, you know, recognized Joe's great heart and the great work he was doing. He sent him someone to help him, a priest, who just happened to have an engineering background. And they put up the church, which remains to this day. And Joe was asked about that, and he said, "Well, you know," he said, "before we hit the Calvary, Christ fell three times too. So the church is named Santa Cruz, the Holy Cross." And interestingly enough, that church still stands today. And it has 70,000 parishioners. Joe finished his time there. He had everything. They had a clinic there. They were outreach to the poor. They had everything. And Joe came back dutifully in obedience to the bishop and served again. He was serving for a couple years in the diocese and then went back to the bishop and said, "Bishop," he said, "I just got to tell you, my heart is with the poor. I've got to go back and I've got to work with the poor." And the bishop understood the gentility and the sanctity of this man. And so he said, "Fine." But he did not go back to Bolivia, a thriving community. He went to Peru to work with the poorest of the poor. While he was in Peru, there was a visit by a famous dignitary, John Paul II. John Paul II came to Peru, and of course the Bishop of Peru recognized that Joe, his last name was Walieski, had a last name, so obviously Polish, he could speak Polish. Well, Joe couldn't speak Polish. Joe had no ability whatsoever to speak Polish, but he wanted in Polish to introduce the Pope. So he got up and said a string of various things that we would have learned just in thing. "How are you? How you doing? Hope you're fine. Happy birthday," those various things. Well, the Pope was so impressed by the man's simplicity, he pulled him off to the side and started talking to him. And John Paul II said, "Where's your heart?" He says, "My heart is with the poor." And he said, "Your Holiness," he said, "we really need to take care of the children, bring the children off the streets. They're being abandoned." The Pope said, "Joe, I'm going to give you $50,000 from Peter's pence. Your pence, your money. The money that you donate." Took $50,000 and gave him so he could start an orphanage. Joe continued to work in the poorest of the poor parishes, in probably one of the poorest areas in all the world. And he had powdered milk coming in so that he could help people. He had all sorts of things. About 3 months or 4 months afterwards, the Pope sent a person, a cardinal from his staff down there because he wanted to work on a pastoral for poverty, for the poor. So he sent him down to Joe so that Father Joe could take him out and could introduce him to literally what poverty really looks like in the world, the face of it. And interestingly, the cardinal came and Joe took him to a little shack, a shack literally built out, if you can imagine this, cardboard. And a woman was inside there who was dying from nth degree bone cancer, which means he was suffering terribly. don't have the medications there that are be able to alleviate the pain and sometimes the suffering. Here she was suffering. And the cardinal came in, and she was teaching catechism to the children in the neighborhood. She was introducing them to the love of Jesus. Here in her own poverty and suffering, she was reaching out to tell them about Christ and about the hope and the salvation found in Jesus. The cardinal was so touched, he started to cry, and he walked out. And Joe escorted him back. He could see the faith alive. He could see the faith profoundly professed. That cardinal was Joseph Ratzinger, who today is Benedict XVI. Here's a priest who wasn't supposed to be ordained, and he's now already influenced two popes directly. He did start his orphanage, and the orphanage thrives to this very day. He took children literally off the streets and sometimes literally in refuse, where babies were tossed into garbage live. And he took them into literally his orphanage to give them a home. And he got sisters together to help provide for the children. And there were others who were made aware of the need and supported Father Joe. But Father Joe was always the great kidder. You know, he always was, and he would always kind of use his sense of humor. And for Joe, I think, is for myself and for others, the sense of humor is the fact that you've got to laugh because God's in control. You know, you're not. And Joe had that tremendous dependency upon God, that God would be there with him and would kind of smile and laugh at him, but always be there for him and with him. And with that, you've got to have a tremendous sense of joy in your life. I was privileged to meet Joe. He was one of my priests, Father Walieski. And his orphanage today still exists, and it is the best of the best of all the orphanages in the whole area of Peru, and I would say all of literally Latin America. When I say I had the privilege of meeting him, when you're in the presence of someone like that, you are in the presence of someone who is humble and holy, but never directing it to himself or herself, always away to the person of Christ, who has motivated them and driven them. I got the word that when I was bishop that Joe had contracted leukemia. And Joe was, it was a fast and aggressive type, and Joe was taken to a hospital in Peru. I would receive daily updates on him. He slipped into a coma, and the staff kind of rushed around his bedside. And you can imagine and picture this, everybody who's working with this wonderful holy man around his bed. Joe came too, and he saw everybody and saw the worry on everybody's face. And in typical style, Joe reached out and patted their hand, just like he always did, and said, "Don't worry. Everything's going to be all right." They knew that this man was going to God, and he knew this God that he had lived for and with his entire life. Joe could have been very bitter about life. He could have looked at the church and looked at authority. He could have been bitter, and that bitterness would have translated in the way he would have worked and how he would work. But instead, he was salt. He saw that all of the challenges in his own life brought flavor, literally, an ability to take that Christ and to project him to the world. He was a light to others, kind of shining, like we hear in Isaiah in the first chapter, in the first reading that we've had today. We hear he was a light to others, shining about the need to reach out and to be for others, and the goodness of the Lord that was present. He was flavored, because he was certainly true when he said, "I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my message and my proclamations were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but literally with a demonstration of the Spirit and power." God was working through and with him. And I tell you that you are salt and light. Do not do not ever think that that is reserved to those people who are the saints. You are the saints. You are the ones who are taking Christ into the world, in the family, in the home, in the offices, in the schools. You are there projecting, and you open yourself to allow the Lord to write His story through you by taking your actions and making sure they give flavor to your Christianity. They give light to the Christ who's present, so that through you they see the glory and the power of Christ in this world. God bless all of you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.